Good morning. Whether you're joining us in virtual space or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Reverend Chris Jimerson, co-lead minister here at the church. I am a six-foot white male with brown hair, wearing all black except for a bright yellow stole. My pronouns are he, him. It is a joy to be with you today.
I'm Sarah Summers. I also go by Frankie. I am one of the co-chairs of the Social Action Council here at First UU. I am a 5'5 white woman with brown hair and my lucky rainbow scarf, and my pronouns are she, her. I am also thrilled to be here with you today. I especially want to welcome you if you are new to the church. If you are joining us remotely, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you are viewing the service. If you are here in person, please join us for the social hour after worship. Either way, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. Simply click on worship, which will then show you a link to the form. We would love to get to know you better.
Today is a special service during which we will explore how doing justice and building the beloved community are integral to our spirituality and our Unitarian Universalist theological heritage and grounding, as well as how we need community and spiritual replenishment to sustain that work for justice.
We will also celebrate First UU Church of Austin's history of doing justice and how we are continuing that social justice legacy today, and let you know how you can nourish your own soul by getting involved. To find out even more, please visit with representatives from our main social justice pillars, which are our focus areas, who will be available at tables during our social hour after the service.
We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. And it's in that tradition, our living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us this morning, either in the comments online or by turning to those around you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is AJ Jaraska. I use they, them pronouns. I'm a seminary student and a member of this church. And I am a 39-year-old white non-binary person wearing a long-sleeved button-down this morning. Please join me in reading the words for lighting our chalice, which are printed in your order of service. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship this morning is adapted from the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Change. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s beloved community is a global vision in which all people can share in the wealth of the earth. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger, and homelessness will not be tolerated because international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit. In the beloved community, international disputes will be resolved by peaceful conflict resolution and reconciliation of adversaries instead of military power. Love and trust will triumph over fear and hatred. Peace with justice will prevail over war and military conflict.
One of the things that holds First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin together as a religious community is that we share a common religious purpose. For this church, that purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together, we put it on our wall, and participants in worship say it together every Sunday so that we might more readily carry it in our hearts throughout the week. Let's do so now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
This reading is from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's Ware Lecture addressed to the UU General Assembly in 1966.
I'm sure that each of you have read the arresting little story from the pen of Washington Irving entitled Rip Van Winkle. One thing that we can usually remember about the story of Rip Van Winkle is that he slept 20 years. But there is another point in that story which is almost always completely overlooked. It is the sign on the inn of the little town on the Hudson from which Rip went up into the mountains for his long sleep. When he went up, the sign had a picture of George III of England. When he came down, the sign had a picture of George Washington, the first president of the United States. When Rip Van Winkle looked up at the picture of George Washington, he was amazed. He was completely lost. He knew not who he was. This incident reveals to us that the almost striking thing about the story of Rip Van Winkle is not merely that he slept 20 years, but that he slept through a revolution. When he was peacefully snoring up in the mountains, a revolution was taking place in the world that would alter the face of human history. One of the great misfortunes of history is that all too many individuals and institutions find themselves in a great period of change, and yet fail to achieve the new attitudes and outlooks that the new situation demands. There is nothing more tragic than to sleep through a revolution.
This is the time in our service when we center ourselves together. We breathe together. And breathing together, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in, breathing out, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside, a place of greater wisdom, that place where a spark of the divine resides within each of us. And breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence together, remembering that we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. Breathing in, breathing out, we now enter the sacred silence together. I invite you now to light a candle if you're so moved. Candles representing sorrow, joy, remembrance, hope, whatever is on your heart at this time. As we light candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of our community who are ill or in sorrow, as well as those who are celebrating joys. We also hold deeply within our hearts all of those who are suffering such tragic and unnecessary loss, famine, and continued killing in Palestine, in the situation between Palestine, Israel, and beyond. May more compassionate souls bring an end to the senseless brutality of the innocent and cease for good the deadly fire that threatens to engulf an even greater expanse of humanity. Now let us enter into this meditative time of candle lighting, and when the music comes to an end, to hold the meditative silence.
Thank you.
now we would light one last candle for all those for whom there is no one to light a candle.
Good morning. I am still happy to be here, and I have so much to tell you. I have always thought of the flame in the chalice as representing the spark of the divine within each of us. I guess that I came up with that as a kid because sparks, fire, yeah, it made sense. I knew the story about the Austrian artist and fighting the Nazis and just figured it made a cool origin story, but didn't think about how that affected my life in the present day. I also figured the chalice was vague enough to be open to interpretation, since a free and equal search for truth and meaning is a core of our religion, so people were going to have their own interpretations of it, and that's a good thing. Interestingly, a pamphlet about the flaming chalice by Susan Ritchie says this about it. When we light the chalice in worship, we illuminate a world that we feel called upon to serve with a sense of justice, with a sense of love and a sense of justice. This flame is what one of our beloved congregational hymns terms the fire of commitment. Well, now that resonates with me too, especially because the story I was told while interning at the Unitarian Universalist United Nations office was that the Unitarians and the Universalists started working together at the UN before the organizations had even finished merging. So I have been describing this religion as a social justice faith since I was about 19. At least from this perspective, and of course we can tell our stories from many perspectives that shed different lights depending on what we want to convey. So at least from this perspective, the present day iteration of Unitarian Universalism is largely predicated on our work for justice and making the world a better place. But I always framed it as work the church was doing. Again, not necessarily thinking beyond my own passion for recycling and ethical eating. But thinking of this flaming chalice as the fire of commitment also recognizes the significance of our own First UU Austin chalice lighting, particularly the part that goes, as our struggle becomes our salvation. And here is where Here, in this church, is where I was finally moved to action. I admit, when I first came to this church, two things stuck out to me that I was not too sure about. I don't know that they rubbed me the wrong way, per se, but they were new and therefore uncomfortable. They were also confusing because they seemed a little too connected to a Christian theology with which I had no relationship. The first thing was that part of the chalice lighting, as our struggle becomes our salvation. And the second thing was this bit of the mission about beloved community. I'll be completely honest. I thought something along the lines of, what the heck are these people on about? Beloved community sounded so exclusive, and why was it capitalized? I stuck around, trusting it would make sense in time. And as AJ shared some about beloved community earlier, I'll share some more as well. And sure enough, Meg and Chris took to explaining this idea from time to time during the moment for beloved community. They would often point to the King Center for more information on beloved community, so I turn there now for some of Dr. King's words. King said that agape love does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sakes, and making no distinction between a friend and an enemy. It is directed toward both. Agape is love seeking to preserve and create community. King felt that justice could not be parceled out to individuals or groups, but was the birthright of every human being in the beloved community. I have fought too hard and long against segregated public accommodations to end up segregating my moral concerns, he said. Justice is indivisible. There's so much more information about Beloved Community on the King Center website. I encourage you to check it out for yourselves. But now this radical idea of Beloved Community makes sense to me. And it was during one of these moments for Beloved Community when Meg had taken to driving home the ways white supremacy thrives on inaction. The relative comfort of a status quo for some that keeps the power structures stable, that the chalice lighting finally clicked. How does our struggle become our salvation in the Unitarian Universalist faith? For me, that struggle is to stop turning away from the discomfort of looking in the mirror and seeing how I still carry the invisible backpack of white privilege. For me, that struggle is to overcome the inertia of inaction and to get up and do what I can to create change. For me, that struggle is meeting others whose ideas and values differ vastly from mine and listening with compassion, the work of finding common ground. Recall the reading that Ani did a few minutes ago. This was Dr. King speaking directly to the Unitarian Universalists, directly to us. He could tell we were inclined toward justice, but perhaps a little lazy about it. Don't sleep through the revolution, he said. Well, I had been sleeping. I'd been resting on my UU upbringing, thinking that just being a part of the church was enough, that the church was doing the work of justice. But of course, we are the church, and we are the ones who have to do the work. But do not despair in the overwhelm of all that needs to be done. There are so many awesome ways to get involved here. First UU has an amazing history of social action work, which I know was promised we would discuss. But in the interest of galvanizing you to take your own actions today, I will instead tell you about the work that is being done at present. Our pillar leaders will be in Housen Hall after service with resources and ways to get involved, as well as micro actions you can take today. A micro-action is a small step you can take with the potential for big impact, especially when many people take part. Peggy Morton is our point person for immigrant rights. Visit the immigrants' rights table to sign up, to receive a link to sign a petition from the Austin Sanctuary Network that calls for everyone in Travis County to have an attorney at their first appearance before a magistrate judge, including individuals targeted under the controversial SB 4 law. This is particularly threatening for immigrants, and Peggy will tell you more about it. Go visit her at the table. Elizabeth Gray spearheads the team working for reproductive justice. So stop by the reproductive justice table to learn about the anti-abortion clinics posing as resources for pregnant persons and how to get the word out about these places known as crisis pregnancy centers that target vulnerable teens in particular with unscientific information. And the microest of micro actions that you can take is to say abortion. Say the word. Richard and Becky Halpin are the fearless leaders of the environmental justice arm, with many thriving programs aimed at addressing the climate crisis. Stop by their table for tools to reduce your carbon footprint. The time is critical and celebratory. Earth Day is tomorrow, a blessed day for many of us here to remember the interdependent web of life of which we are all a part. Ginny Fredericks leads the racial justice group in tandem with Scott Buckte. Stop by their table to pick up a list of Black-owned businesses and head over to one of those places this week. We want this year to be First UU's ever Juneteenth service, so if you want to sign up to lend your support to our BIPOC group, who is working hard to plan this in tandem with Texas UGEM, also stop by the table and write that down on your sign-up sheet. Vanessa McDougall is our resident voting rights and democracy expert. Stop by her table today to pick up a sample ballot for Austin's upcoming election and make your plan to vote. For the first time, Travis County is electing 3 TCAD appraisers. Early voting starts tomorrow and runs through April 30th. Election day is May 4th. Leo Collis is our LGBTQIA+ rights pillar leader. He has invited you all to join the Community Heart Circle today at 2 p.m. in room 13. They follow a similar format to chalice circles, so if you'd like to get a feeling for a UU spiritual discussion group, please join us and make new friends. Each of these groups represents a pillar of social action here at First UU. We did a survey, we got the data, we formed these pillars, and of course there is more work even outside of these groups. For example, we had an awesome team of first UUers, including a number of the high school youth, come out for IACT's hands-on housing event earlier this month, which is an interfaith action group that supports low-income Austin homeowners. So I'm really looking forward to talking with all of you at the Housing Hall social hour. We'll be at the tables and to live into our faith and do the work to build the beloved community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to start this morning with a story that I first told many years ago. I think the first time that I shared this pulpit with our minister emerita, Meg Barnhouse, right after she had promoted me to full-time minister with the church. I also shared it at the installation service of a dear friend. And to offer some context, I'll offer one more quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Occasionally in life, there are those moments of unutterable fulfillment which cannot be completely explained by those symbols called words. Their meanings can only be articulated by the inaudible language of the heart. And of course, as you've heard, Dr. King also made popular the term beloved community. I think that, especially for Unitarian Universalists, we often experience the spiritual or religious when the two meet. Those experiences of unutterable fulfillment of which Dr. King spoke, and the creation of the beloved community, the bringing of love into our larger world as justice and liberation for all. So, the story. Back in 2013, a Texas state senator named Wendy Davis became nationally famous when she held a long filibuster against a proposed bill that at the time we thought imposed unbelievably draconian restrictions on women's reproductive rights in Texas. My spouse Wayne and I joined a large group of Unitarian Universalists from across the state to support a large rally that was being held on the steps of the Texas State Capitol to protest the bill as well as other attacks on women's rights. We all showed up in our bright yellow Unitarian Universalist t-shirts, and folks from this church, our church, gathered around our big, bright yellow First UU Church of Austin banner. Now, the women's rights groups that had organized the rally absolutely loved it, so they put us right behind the speakers for the rally. The event drew a huge crowd, and near the end of it, we noticed that all eight of us holding up our banner at the women's rights rally were men. And that didn't seem so unusual for Unitarian Universalists, so we were just kind of amused by it. After the rally, though, as I walked back to my car, a woman I had never met touched my shoulder. I turned to her. She looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, "I just want you to know how moving it was for me to see a group of all men holding up your church banner." Then she looked briefly away, turned back to me, and said, "You know, I don't think of myself as religious, but I'm going to have to find out more about you folks." I guess we were both stunned by the movement of something sacred between us that was occurring in that moment, because for a while, neither one of us said anything else. I don't remember how long we just stood there or who broke the silence first, but I do remember that at some point she asked me where she could get one of our bright yellow t-shirts, so I gave her the web address for that and told her a little bit about our local churches. I don't think we even exchanged our names. I will tell you, though, I still have never been happier to call myself a Unitarian Universalist than I was in that moment. I have never been more grateful to be reminded that the religious can happen anywhere and at any moment, and that we are called to be there for it. Unutterable fulfillment and doing justice, building the beloved community, are inseparably linked. And it is in this interrelationship between the two that I believe our Unitarian Universalist faith flourishes. That event was over 10 years ago. And if anything, I have become to believe this even more now, and to believe that it is even more vital now that our Unitarian Universalist faith flourish like never before. The bill which Wendy Davis filibustered eventually got passed in a special session of the Texas legislature. We thought it was so horrible at the time because it did things like banning abortion beyond 20 weeks and putting stringent requirements on physicians and clinics, making it much more difficult for them to continue to provide abortion services. Little did we imagine then how much worse it would get by now. And of course, it's not only reproductive justice that is at risk these days, which is why we so critically need all of the social action pillars you heard Sarah talk about earlier. Reproductive justice, racial justice, environmental justice, LGBTQ plus rights, immigration rights, our very democracy itself are all under siege. I've got some news for the forces of bigotry and oppression, though. Wendy Davis's filibuster never really ended. More and more of us have just picked it up and are expressing it in a multitude of ways, even now. It is not over. This is not over. You have awakened a sleeping giant. There is a great rumbling across the land. We're seeing it in elections and voting and public action over and over again. We are coming for justice and liberation, and we will not be sleeping through this revolution. A revolution that will once again alter the face of human history, a revolution that has already begun. This is our moment for unutterable fulfillment. We shall overcome. We shall all live in peace. We shall all be free. That dream of beloved community lies just upon our horizon, and love will guide us there. Amen.
Please join us for saying the words for extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
As we go out into our world today, may we know the spiritual fulfillment of working together to do justice.
May we find solidarity beyond these church walls with the many, many folks in our community and beyond, and our world, who, like us, are striving to build the beloved community.
Guided by love, may we remain ever awakened to the revolution.
and in doing so, nourish souls and transform lives, including our own.
May the congregation say, Amen.
Amen.
And blessed be.
Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.